Well, I'm not sure about you, but I love joyful times in life. I love to celebrate things. I love happiness, whether it's a child that was born or a marriage or a wedding that just happened. Maybe you caught all the green lights on 200 to get here today. You're like, man, I'm happy about that, you know? Small things, big things, there's things to be happy about in life. And I think we should mark those things. I think we should put a stake in the ground on those things and celebrate those moments. But if you've been alive for any amount of time, you know that when there's joy, there's sorrow. When there's joy, there's hardship. There's a rhythm that we navigate through while we're on this earth. Things will never be perfect while we are here on this earth. There will be a day, and Arlene has seen that day, when we're in heaven and we get to experience that. There will be a day, but while we're here on this earth, we experience hardship. We experience pain of life. We experience the things that are straining on us and the things that we're trying to navigate in our life. But we have to understand that there is help. And there is help not just here on this earth. And when we have temporary help on this earth, things of this earth, we think they can help, but they're really not the permanent fix. We need something called heavenly help. We need help that really we can only get from heaven, from God. We need that kind of help because that's the kind of help that is limitless. That's the kind of help that can really help us with where we are. And so I want to talk about a few things as we address the idea of heavenly help in our lives, a few things that I think can help us with this. Are you guys with me? All right, here we go. First thing that we can do to access heavenly help in our lives. Let me first say this. You guys do need help, right? I mean, okay, I just want to make sure. I was kind of getting some looks. I wasn't sure what was going on. So we acknowledge that we need some heavenly help in our lives, right? Okay, so here are a few things that we can do to get heavenly help. We get heavenly help by personal time with God. That's one-on-one time. That's you and God, where you designate time in your day that you are spending time in God's word, in a devotion book, in a time of prayer, in a time of worship. That's designated you and God time. And now if you're a parent of young kids, you got to fight for that time. Now you got to either get up early or you got to, you know, put, I don't know what kids watch these days, but what's on TV. Maybe you got to do that so you can make time. And how many of you guys know that if we don't make time, there will be no time? If our schedule gets so full that we're waking up and running out of the house because we have a business deal to do and we forget to have time with God, we're missing out of heavenly help. We're missing an opportunity for heavenly help. So we have to fight for that. We have to have that in our lives. The second idea of heavenly help comes from people helping people. Heavenly help is about people helping people. We need that personal time with God. We need people helping people. We need we get help from others. We need all those things in our lives. The best story I have for this in the scripture is when there's a paralyzed man and he wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. And the crowds were so big and people just passed him by. But there were four guys. And they took their time and they talked with the guy. He says, I just want to see Jesus. And they all looked at each other at the same time and were like, yeah, we got this. You know those kind of guys, right? Like, we got this. So they pick up this guy and they bring him in. They couldn't get him to Jesus. So what did? They went to the roof. And they couldn't get in the roof. So what did? They ripped the roof off the place. That's crazy. But we need those kind of people in our lives. We need to have some friends in our lives that are willing to rip the roof off the place to help us get closer to Jesus. And you guys believe that? I'm not talking literally. If you go home today and someone's on your roof with a chainsaw, don't call me. There's other people you need to call about that. But figuratively, we got to have some people in our lives that are willing to do whatever it takes to help us get closer to Jesus. If you don't have those people, you got to find those people. That's why we talk a lot about small groups, that life change happens in relationship. And so we encourage people to find people to do life with, whether it's around an activity group or a Bible study group, a men's group, a women's group, parent group, whatever it is, find a way to do life with other people. And that's why we encourage serving on the dream team and getting connected and finding your fit, serving on the tech team, parking team, kids team, wherever, whatever team you want to be on, we'll find a place for you. Not just so that we can get something from you. No, it's not about that. It's about serving together in a common goal to accomplish to let people know about Jesus Christ. Our small group team, our small groups, dream team. And maybe you're not doing either one of those, which I hope you would, but maybe you're the person that sits in the same section every Sunday. Are there same section people here today? Okay, we got a couple brave people that are willing to admit it. That's your section. That's your group of people. We all kind of gravitate towards different areas. Maybe after service today, instead of, now this is hard stuff, okay? But maybe after service today, before you just run out the door, you take a few extra minutes and talk to somebody in your section, in your group, people that you sit with all the time. Maybe you'll find your new best friend, or maybe you'll find somebody that could really be that person in your life that can help you, or maybe you just get to know somebody for who they are as a person. Grab coffee, do lunch, say hi, whatever it is, but church, listen, look at me. People need to help people. Heavenly help is when we get help from others. We got to have that in our lives. Can I get somebody to say amen today? But those two things, they're actually limited. Not limited because of God. They're limited because of us. They involve us. Those things involve us. Not limited because of God, but limited because of us. But there is heavenly help that God wants to give us and that he has given us that is limitless. It's no limit. That heavenly help is called the Holy Spirit. And so today we want to dig into and understand a little bit more about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit operates in our lives, okay? And we're going to start by digging into John chapter 14. And as I set this up a little bit, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. And this is the time where Jesus is preparing to go to the cross. He is navigating. He's on the journey to the cross. He knows what's before him. He's accepted the call to give up his life so that we can have forgiveness of our sins. He's accepted that. He's on this journey. He's trying to tell his disciples all the things as a recap of what's going on and what has happened in ministry. And now as he's getting ready and knows that he's going to leave the planet, leave earth, leave his human shell, and go back to heaven, as he knows that's happening, he's trying to set the disciples up for success. He's trying to prepare them for what's ahead. They don't get it, but he's trying to prepare them for what's ahead, right? So let's look in John chapter 14, verse 16. Again, this is Jesus speaking. It says this, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you for how long? Forever." It's Jesus speaking. He's on the way to the cross. He knows what's before him, but he takes time to go to the Father on our behalf. And he goes and asks the Father, and he will give you another helper. The word another has the idea of the same as, same kind of helper. But the difference is that the Holy Spirit will be with us forever. Jesus, while he was on the earth, he was getting ready to give up his life and go back to heaven physically. But he says here, the Holy Spirit is with us forever. It means he goes, there's no bounds. He goes anywhere. He goes wherever we are, whatever we're doing, no matter what's happening. He's with me today as I'm even sharing this message. He's going to be with you tomorrow on vacation. He's going to be with you tomorrow on your office visit or your job situation. He's just with us. The Holy Spirit's with us. Not just for a short amount of time, not just occasionally, and if he feels like it, he's with us forever. And that's something that we should be excited about and grateful for, that God has sent us the Holy Spirit that is with us forever. Amen. Not only does it say that, it continues on in verse 17, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him or knows him, you know him, for he dwells with you, and he dwells in you." Where does he dwell? He dwells with us, and he dwells in us. The Holy Spirit is in us. In John chapter 16, this is Jesus speaking again, reiterating what he's already told us. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away." What does the word advantage mean? It means to have an edge, to have an upper hand on something, right? It would be like me playing one-on-one basketball with Shaquille O'Neal. He would have a slight advantage, right? I mean, even at standing on this platform, he's still probably taller than I am. He has a slight advantage. There's an advantage there. We get the advantage with the Holy Spirit. The advantage is ours. God wants to give us the advantage of the Holy Spirit. It says, it goes on and says this, "For if I do not go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Jesus is saying, hey, listen, it's better for me to go. Because when I go, the Holy Spirit is coming. It's even better for me. It's at your advantage that I would go and that the Holy Spirit would come. So the question for us is, question for me is, do we take advantage of the advantage we've been given? Do we take advantage of the advantage? Are we accessing the advantage that we've been given through the Holy Spirit? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit, the advantage that was given to us, to be part of our everyday lives? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to be with us wherever we go in our comings and our goings? Or are we doing those things on our own? I've tried to do those things on my own. It don't go well. At least for Shawnee, it doesn't go well. Maybe it goes well for you. But I know that with the Holy Spirit, my advantage, that when I am with the Holy Spirit, when I'm in tune with the Holy Spirit, when I have the Holy Spirit involved in my life, things go better. There's more that I have access to. And we're going to dig into that in just a second. So we need the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need to take advantage of the advantage that we have through the Holy Spirit. Let's go back to John chapter 14. Right, we saw in John chapter 14 the word helper, that we were going to be sent a helper. And the Greek word for the Holy Spirit as our helper is the word paraclete, paraclete. And I would only imagine that none of you have used the word paraclete this week. So I'm going to share that with us to help us. Okay, you guys are good with that? Paraclete means this: a comforter. How many of you guys have ever needed a comforter? Counselor. Helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, our standby. I love this. Someone who comes alongside another person to help or assist them in any way they need. This word paraclete is very relational. It's very connected. It's very relational with deep meaning. It has the idea, have you ever seen this at a marathon, that someone has run the whole marathon, and 50 feet before they get to the finish line, they just collapse. The pressure on their body, the agony that they're in, they just can't get to the finish line 50 feet before where they're supposed to be, and they just collapse. The word paraclete has the idea that another runner coming by would come alongside, would see the need, would help pick the person up, as runners would do, and they would help that person, carry that person to the finish line. That's coming alongside somebody. Or maybe another way to see it would be if you're in the hospital and a loved one of yours is getting ready for a major procedure, major medical procedure, something heavy, something hard, and you're in the waiting room and you're alone, you're by yourself. You feel worried and you feel overwhelmed and you feel helpless. You feel just by yourself. You don't know what to do. Anxiety is rising. But you lift up your head, and the corner of your eye, you see the door to the waiting room. It opens, and it's your good friend. You lock eyes. That person comes over not to tell you this and this and what to do, and I just need to talk to the doctor and this and this. They come alongside of you, and they don't care about that. They just want to be next to you. They want to look in your eyes and say, "You're not alone today. I'm with you today. I know you're feeling this way, but I'm with you today." And they grab your hand or they grab your shoulder and, man, we're going to face this together. That's what a paraclete does. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us if we allow him in our lives. The Holy Spirit's like that friend, the paraclete, to come alongside of us. He doesn't just show up occasionally. He shows up. He's in us. He's with us. He reminds us that we're not alone. He helps you pray when you don't know what to pray. He brings comfort that reaches deeper than words can imagine. We must involve the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's to our advantage. If we study the book of Acts, we'll see a day called the Day of Pentecost. And the Day of Pentecost occurred 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus. And it's 7 Sundays after Easter, as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus at Easter. So 7 Sundays after the resurrection, and that would be today. Today would be Pentecost Sunday. That's why the significance of talking about this. Day of Pentecost took place 50 days after the resurrection, 10 days after Jesus' ascension to heaven. It was a powerful time. But before this time, the disciples were worried. They didn't know what was going on. And if you can just put yourselves in the disciples' maybe hearts and mind and emotions at the time, they had followed Jesus. But then all of a sudden, Jesus is being persecuted. And Jesus is being said that he's going to go be hung on a cross. And then after he's passed away on the cross, his body was going to be taken down. He was going to be put into a grave. Can you imagine what they're experiencing? And then on the third day after being in the grave, the tomb rolls away, the door rolls away, and Jesus comes out of the grave. He resurrected from the grave. Can you imagine what they're experiencing? They have the ups and these downs and all these things going on. And then soon after that, Jesus is ascended to heaven where he sits on the right hand of the Father. And the disciples are like, what's happening? What's going on? And they have all these emotions and all these things that they're trying to figure out. Jesus was here and he wasn't, then he was here and then he's not. And they're gathered in this room and they're not sure what to do, and they're kind of hiding and they're worried and they're taking some time to pray. And just like Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would come, the Holy Spirit came. And that was a breakthrough moment for the believers. There was a breakthrough moment in that room. Instead of hiding in the place of fear, in place of worry, they stepped out of that place and began to share the gospel of Jesus. They began to preach the gospel of Jesus. People gave their lives to God. Thousands of people gave their lives to God. And it says that every day the numbers were added to. This was the beginning of the early church. The Holy Spirit came into a situation that looked dark, that looked dim, that looked maybe there was no hope, that maybe they felt hopeless. Holy Spirit came in and gave them breakthrough. And the same Holy Spirit that was active then is the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and the same Holy Spirit that is in you and that is with you, that is in me and with me today. Do you believe that, church? Same Holy Spirit. He's in us. He's with us. This is a powerful moment. The day of Pentecost reminds us that we're never meant to live alone as a Christian. We have strength. We have hope. We have hope, heavenly help and hope for today. Amen. Well, I want to take some of our time today. I want to talk about six things. I said six things. That's awesome. Oh, fantastic. Holy Spirit, help me with my counting. Six things, all right? We're going to look at six things that can really help us have the Holy Spirit operate in our lives on a day-by-day basis. Because I'm talking to the right people, right? We already said we need help. We need heavenly help. Okay, good. So this is going to be good for us. So six things. Let me go through them real quick with you. Number one, he gives wisdom in decisions. He gives wisdom in decisions. When you're facing a big life decision, facing a challenging job, or handling a conflict, or making a hard parenting choice, or all the things that you're going through, the Holy Spirit gives us wisdom when we need to make decisions. When you feel stuck, the Holy Spirit can give you wisdom of what to do next. Our advantage with the Holy Spirit, that he guides you with divine insight, even when the human side of you falls short. He wants to give you wisdom to know what to do and how to do it. James chapter 1, verse 5 says it this way: if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. There's going to be some things that I'm going to ask you to declare at each one of these six things. So the first one is this. Will you read this with me? Holy Spirit, give me wisdom. Come on, one more time. Holy Spirit, give me wisdom. What do you do when you don't know what to do? Holy Spirit, give me wisdom. We can't just make these decisions on our own. They won't work out. They don't work out great. But when we invite the Holy Spirit into our decision-making process, he will help us and he will lead us on what to do. The second thing here is that he brings peace in chaos. Peace in chaos. when everything around you feels like it's falling apart, when you feel stuck, when you may be in the middle of a hard grief situation, unexpected grief, a health scare, a financial pressure, but somehow in the middle of the storm, you are hanging on to hope. Somehow in the middle of that storm, that you have a place of calm. Somehow in the middle of that storm, that you feel anchored. That's the peace of God. That's the Holy Spirit helping you right where you are. And you may be here today and you're feeling that. You're in the middle of chaos with no peace. You're in the middle of chaos and there's struggle. This is the time that we invite the Holy Spirit to help us. Even in the middle of our chaos, He wants to come in and provide peace in the uncertainty. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. It says this, "Don't worry about anything. Instead," what does it say? "Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for what He's done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart. His peace will guard your mind as you live in Christ Jesus." We may not understand how it's going to happen, but God is going to help you if you invite Him in to your chaos. Read this with me. Declare this with me. Holy Spirit, give me peace. Amen. The third thing is this. He strengthens us to forgive. He strengthens us to forgive. That was the reaction I thought I was going to get. Why? Because we're human. Forgiveness is hard. Forgiveness we need help with. Forgiveness is hard because we're having to forgive people that we thought were there to help us, but instead they were there to hurt us. And so when we have unforgiveness on the inside of us, we're hanging on to a weight, to a burden, to something that we're not designed to carry. When we're holding on to a grudge, we're hanging on to something that shouldn't be ours. When we invite the Holy Spirit to come in to help us with forgiveness, because sometimes we can't do it on our own. In fact, a lot of times we can't do it on our own. But when we invite the Holy Spirit, help me to forgive. Help me to forgive this person. When we do that, it allows that freedom to come in. And we can extend forgiveness, not because it's easy, not because sometimes we want to, but we can extend forgiveness because God is helping you, because the Holy Spirit is helping you. And when you forgive somebody, you're essentially saying, "I let you go. For what you've done to me, I let you go." And a lot of times, forgiveness is not about even the other person. Forgiveness is for us, for me, and for you. We don't want to carry that burden and that baggage that's been stringing along for years after years and decades after decades. It's time that we cut the line and we say, "Holy Spirit, help me to forgive. Help me to let go of that weight. Let me release the charges of what that person's done." And when we do that, the Holy Spirit comes in and gives you the care that you need in your life. Look what it says in Colossians chapter 3. It says, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you." We got to let it go. Let's declare this together. Holy Spirit, help me forgive. Well, one more time. Holy Spirit, help me forgive. That's powerful. Number four, He moves us to encourage others. Holy Spirit will move you to encourage others. One way I say it in this situation would be that there's sometimes that you're just enjoying your day, round about your day, and all of a sudden you have somebody pop into your mind. You guys know what I'm talking about? Like, you're just doing your own thing. All of a sudden, Sally. I wonder what Sally's doing today. Well, I don't view that as happenstance. I'm not viewing that as happenstance. I'm viewing that the Holy Spirit brought that person to my mind, and then I'm going to take my time and reach out to that person to encourage that person. Whether it's through a text message, a call, a card you put in the mail, whatever it is to find ways to encourage that person. And so I just challenge you that you would ask the Holy Spirit to put people into your path, put people into your mind that you could be used by God, that people could be helping other people, and that God can use you to help somebody else in a desperate need, that they're looking for heavenly help, and that heavenly help can come through you, can come through me. And so we need to be a kind of a person. We need to be people. We need to be a church that is not afraid to listen to the voice of God when He speaks to us and do something with it. You know, when I was raising our kids, There's a couple of things that I, this wasn't the only thing, but I, this is one of the things that we taught them. We taught them to listen and obey. All right, parents, what's up? Yeah. We taught them to listen and obey. And as Christians, as a child of God, as children of God, we want to listen to God. We want to learn from God. We want to absorb those things from God. We want to get that, but not only get that, but we need to obey that. So when we hear the Holy Spirit speaking to us and somebody coming to our mind or to our heart, then we should step out and do something with what is happening in that situation. And I don't know about you, but I would rather step out and miss it, thinking that it was God and have tried, than to miss it and knowing that it was God for that person's life. I'd rather take the hit. Hey, I feel like God wants me to do this, so I'm going to do it. And maybe it was just a pizza from Papa John's the night before because I had all the extra stuff on it, the pineapple and the... I'm just joking. I don't eat pineapple pizza. Who eats pineapple pizza? That's wrong. Now we're gonna pray for you after service today. But I'd rather do something thinking that it was God and miss it than not do anything at all. So I want us to be that kind of church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, it says this: to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for common good. That God wants to use us, the Holy Spirit wants to work through us for the common good around us. Take time to listen. Take time to obey. And declare this with me. Holy Spirit, use me to encourage others. One more time. Holy Spirit, use me to encourage others. Just two more. Hang on there with me. Number five, he gives us endurance for trials. He gives us endurance in trials. Doesn't matter how much we dress up on a Sunday. Doesn't matter how much We look good on the outside. If we can be honest, we've been through some trials. We've been through some trials. And we've seen God work. Or maybe you're here today and you're in the middle of your trial. Maybe you're here today and you're in the middle of the storm. God's not done. He's still working. God's still working on your behalf. And I want to go through trials of life when I face them, if I face them, still standing. When I'm going through a trial, and I encourage you when you're going through a trial, that when we see that happening, it's not something that we let go of God. When we see a trial in our life coming up or happening, it's where we got to hang on tighter. That's where we got to hang on tighter, that our personal time with God has got to grow. Our help from each other has got to grow. We got to surround ourselves with some people that are going to encourage us and going to help us, not try to do life alone, because when we do life alone, we're isolated. And the devil messes with us in our mind, in our life. And he tries to bring us down so we can't be brought up by the Spirit of God. So we got to fight through those trials. And even if you're facing something today, I want you to know that God sees you right where you are today. He sees your pain. He sees your hurt. He sees your agony. And that you're not alone. And after service today, if you need prayer for something specifically in your life, our prayer team will be across the front, and we would be honored to pray with you and connect with you so you can win the battle today, telling the enemy that he couldn't hold you back from voicing your need with somebody else. So declare this with me. Holy Spirit, is it on there? All right. Holy Spirit, strengthen me. One more time. Holy Spirit, strengthen me. This is what the Spirit does for us. He comes alongside of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says it this way. But he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My loving kindness, my mercy are more than enough, always available. I love that. Regardless of my situation, no matter what I'm going through, his grace and his mercy is enough. For my power is being perfected and is completed and shows itself most effectively in your weakness. So even when you feel weak, even when you feel like giving up, where we got to pull on the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit can strengthen us. Amen? Amen? Last thing I want to share with you today is this. Number six, we made it. He produces a transformed life. He produces a transformed life. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it says, but the Holy Spirit produces, when the Holy Spirit's in you, this is what should come out. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. And I don't want to stop there. I want to keep reading. In verse 24, it says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. This verse 24 is really important to us because that's what the transformation life is. When we want our lives to be transformed by the Spirit of God, we have to get rid of some things that are weighing us down. We have to let go of some things that are holding us back. We have to nail some things to the cross and give it over to Jesus, ask him for forgiveness, and be able to move on. That's transformation. When we get rid of those things, then we could add the spiritual things. It's easier to add the spiritual things. Can spiritual things be added even when you're dealing with that stuff? Yes. That's not a transformation life. I want us to be a church that is transforming our lives, that is looking at ways, that's allowing the Holy Spirit to come in to bring things to our mind of things we've got to let go of. It may be something that you're dealing with just in a day, or maybe something you've been dealing with for decades. Places you go, what you look at, how you say this, how you say that, whatever it is for you. We're all different. We all have different pulls from the enemy. But I want to look at you today, church, and I want to tell you that whatever you're dealing with right now, whatever it is that sinful desire that you've been locked down to today, that today can be a breakthrough for you. And you can lay it down at the feet of Jesus and pick up a transformed life. I want us a year from now to be able to look back. June 6, 2026. June 8th, 2026. To be able to look back and see the work of transformation that happened in our lives. See the things that we gave up. See the things that we nailed to the cross. But not just things that we gave up and nailed to the cross, but the things that we picked up in the Spirit and allowed God to use us in a spiritual way. The things that we gave up, the things that we picked up. A year goes by quickly. You know what I'm talking about. I don't want another year to go by without living a transformed life for God. Every day that we grow in our relationship with God, we should get stronger and stronger and more like Jesus. We're not just here to live here and do this and do that. It's not just a Sunday church. It's a lifestyle of living for Christianity and living for God. And we need to make it a point to live a transformed life, because if we don't, no transformation will take place. We'll be at the same exact place a year from now than we are right now. And I don't want that for me, and I don't want that for you. When we give up the sinful side and we receive the Holy Spirit to operate in our lives, we'll see love, we'll see joy, we'll see peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. We'll see those things produced out of us because that's what we're planting. That's what we're planting. A year from now on June 8th, 2026, I want you to be able to look back and see, man, that's how God built love in me better. That's how God instilled self-control in me in a better way. Man, I have more self-control now than I did last year. I have more love now, more peace now, more self-control now, more gentleness, more long-suffering, I said that already, but you know what I'm talking about. Oh, I know what I was going to say. Patience. We've built these things up so a year from now we can look back and be like, yes, God, my life is being transformed, and it's only because of you. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, it says, throw off the old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by the lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts, your attitudes. Put on your new creature, created to be like God, truly and righteous and holy. Verse 24, because I messed up a word. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. That's the fruit of the Spirit. We got to pick it up. If we don't do anything, we'll have the same conversation next year and we'll be in the same exact place. But if we do something, if we take advantage of the advantage that we've been given by our Father God, and we invite the Holy Spirit to do a work on the inside of us, our lives will be changed a year from now. Not only our lives will be changed, but those around us will be changed. And I want change, I want transformation to happen in my life. We're not done with service yet. I have a special thing I'd like to do, and I'm gonna invite the worship team to come up. There's a song I want them to play and that we can connect with. It's actually about the day of Pentecost. We're waiting for the Holy Spirit to fill us, to change us, to work in us. I want this to be an invitation for you to invite the Holy Spirit into your everyday life. I want this to be an invitation that you invite the Holy Spirit into your chaos, into your crisis, into your trial. I want this to be an invitation that you put into your mind of remembering other people and being used by God, of having a transformed life. And you may want to sit during this song. You may want to stand. That's totally up to you. But I even challenge you to take it a step further. That maybe you would get out your phone. Maybe you would get out a notepad. And you would write down some things or type some things that you already know that the Spirit of God is telling you to let go of. You already know the Spirit of God is telling you to pick up, to let go and to pick up. You already know that you need to invite the Holy Spirit into this situation of your life. Put those things down on paper or on your phone today. And let that be a mark. Let that be a statement of what God's going to do in your life this year. Come on, let's worship together.
Speak.